Okay, we will move on. It's called the parable of the speck and the log. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look for the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take this speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own, you hypocrite? First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. As you can tell, this is a newer translation, but they put it in more modern words here. First of all, let's talk a little bit about judgment. A lot of people read this and they say, Christ tells us not to judge. But is that what it says? Does it say, do not judge at all?
Outrageous.
It says, do not judge or you will be judged. For in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So, I like to differentiate judgment into positive and negative judgment. If you have a kid, a really negative judgment, which some parents actually do to their kids, which I think is so terrible that it's better to have a millstone hung around your neck than to do this to a kid. They'll say something like, well, you're a big failure, you're never going to amount to anything. You know, and some parents do that because the kid starts to excel a little bit and excelled above what the parent did when he was a kid, and it makes them jealous, so they try to bring the kid down a notch. And that's a terrible thing to happen. But this is a terrible type of judgment. So this is a judgment that we should not be making, a negative judgment to pull people down, because then we will create karma where we will be judged as we have judged. But there's also a positive judgment. Say you're playing, teaching your kid how to play ball, and you say, boy, you did a really good job catching that ball. You know, and you praise the kid, and he starts getting better and better, and he's even excelling where you were when you were his age, but you're happy for him because you want him to be better than you, and that's what a good parent should be. And so in this case, you're making a positive judgment, has a positive effect, and this sets the stage for you being in a realm where people who judge you will judge you more fairly and positively also. So he's really saying how he's really enunciating the law of karma, which is, as you sow, so shall you reap. So as you judge, so will you be judged. He's not saying to not make any judgments. I mean, you got to make hundreds of judgments every day. When the alarm goes off, you got to make a judgment as to whether to get up now or sleep an extra 10 minutes. And then you sleep an extra 10 minutes, you look at the clock, oh, it's a half hour.
So,
yeah.
There was one TV preacher said that regarding this parable, he said you don't need a judge, but you can be a fruit inspector.
Yeah.
You inspect the fruits of their labor or their actions.
Yeah.
And I found that for my own self, if I criticize someone, I'll wind up doing that myself.
Yeah. Yeah. And often our criticism is a reflection. And this is what's interesting about this parable is what he says next. He talks about when most people make judgments that are negative, they're not seeing clearly because they have a big plank in their own eye that blurs their vision, so they cannot see. And how do they improve their vision so that they can judge correctly? Yeah, once you remove the plank out so you can see clearly, then you can, he actually says, then you can see clearly to make a good judgment of your neighbor. But most judgments that people make and especially most criticisms they make are warped somewhat. Let's pick on somebody. Curtis, a lot of people criticize you.
Me?
Do you feel that a lot of people who criticize you are inaccurate? They don't see you correctly?
Correct, yeah.
They
don't see me the way I see you.
Yeah. And they don't see your good heart, right? Yeah, he's got a good heart.
Sometimes they see, say something that is a little left of center, and they'll judge me, because of that, but might just be joking around. And I was going to, it's funny you picked on me, I was just going to say, in the labors of Hercules, he had to go through all these different experiences to gain wisdom so he could judge righteous judgment. And because we're all going to judge, but to judge righteously, even Jesus had negative things to say about the Sadducees and the Pharisees, but his judgment was just.
The best book about criticizing people was written by Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. How many people read that book? Oh, quite a few. Good. But he has a chapter on how to criticize people. And he basically says, the average person thinks that he's a good person, okay? Thinks that he's doing his best, and in his mind, he is doing his best. He may be making a lot of screw-ups, but it's still, in his mind, he's doing his best. And he pointed out this number one public enemy, when he was cornered by the police, he wrote down, all I try to do is to help people throughout my life, something like that. The even public enemy number one was saw himself as a good person. And so that's what he pointed out, that just about everybody sees themselves as a good person doing their best. And he says, when you criticize them, it doesn't matter if your criticism is just or whatever, they will not like it. even if your criticism is 100% on, they will not like it, and most people will reject it because they think they're doing their best and your criticism is not helpful or not wanted. And so what he recommends is 9 times out of 10, when you feel like criticizing somebody, he says, just don't do it, because it doesn't accomplish anything. Then he says, there's that 1 time out of 10, sometimes you absolutely have to tell somebody they're screwing up. I mean, sometimes it's a totally essential. Does anyone remember how to handle that situation? Who remembers what he said about that? Curtis?
Well, reproving be kind with sharpness when moved upon by the Holy Ghost, and then afterwards showing forth an increase of love, lest him do whom thou hast reproved should esteem me to be his enemy.
Okay, that's from the Doctrine and Covenants, and that works. I find that works when I'm moved upon by the Spirit to give a criticism. But if you're not moved upon by the Spirit, it doesn't do any good. But if you're moved upon by the Spirit to criticize, then after you criticize, you show an increase of love afterwards. That can work pretty good. If you're not moved upon by the Spirit, nothing works. Okay. Now, but here's what Dale Carnegie says. He says, if you absolutely feel you have to criticize somebody, tell them they're completely wrong, he says, first of all, look for something good to say about it.
Oh, sandwich.
Okay. Just a sandwich approach. Yeah.
Yeah. So, let's say Lorraine is a speaker, and she's speaking too loud, and it's annoying everybody, okay? And she's a pretty good speaker and everything, but she's just speaking too loud. Somebody needs to tell her. So instead of just approaching her and say, hey, you speak too loud, she will say, she'll probably take offense. He says, to find something good. So first of all, you sit her down and you say, man, you're a really good speaker. You find positive things to say about her first. And you say, what you said was really good. You got some really good material, and spend a little bit of time praising her, what she did wrong. But you say, you know, there's just one little thing that would make you perfect, and that is if you didn't speak quite so loud, that would make your speech projection just perfect. So you word it like that, and he says it will usually work. But it doesn't always work. I've tried that approach before and had it completely fail. So even that doesn't always work, but it sometimes works. It works a lot better than just attacking them right out of the blue. But people really get their dander up when they get criticized. Now, sometimes when you criticize somebody, they will act like they will appreciate it, but they'll harbor a resentment over it. And then they'll find a way to get, a subtle way to get back at you later on. So, you know, don't think that when you criticize somebody that they're being thankful. Very few times they are. Now, I'm trying to have it in my life, so if somebody criticizes me and it's a just criticism, part of my personality doesn't like it, but then I go by my mind and common sense, and I think, well, let's look at this logically. That criticism may have some weight. Maybe I should pay attention to it. You know, so that we need to do this two ways. Not only correct how we criticize others, but when we are criticized, especially if you get three or more people saying the same criticism about you, there's probably something there. Maybe you don't want to hear it, but if three or more people that's not connected to each other give a similar criticism, then maybe there's something that you need to work off the rough edges of. You know. Okay.
That was called the sandwich approach, which is you take a nice slice of bread and that's what you say, something positive, and then you stick the knife in it and tell them what they, you know, the correction part.
Yeah.
And then you have another nice slice of bread that sandwiches it together, and they can't remember really where the knife was. So that's the sandwich. But I must be mellowing myself because I don't hear a lot of the criticisms that I used to hear.